The most wonderful time of the year. It is March mode. He's March legend Ben Brust. I'm ESPN Wisconsin's Alex Strofe with you as we get ready for conference tournament week and less than a week away now from Selection Sunday. We will have a bracket in 6 days. Can't wait for that. We will get to the Big Ten tournament preview as the Badgers, the fifth seed. They await the winner of USC and Washington. But the end of the regular season finishes exactly how the rest of the season has gone. The Wisconsin Badgers, the Road Warriors, they go to number 15 Purdue and get a win on Saturday to end the regular season. Ben, we talked about it last week. I don't know how they continue to do it, but they do it again, scoring 97 at Mackey and getting a win.
What did Blackwell and Boyd combine for?
48. They were a point short of my end of show prediction from episode 2.
Yeah. It was a good prediction. I am fascinated by the fact that they scored 97 points on 52 field goal attempts.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were awesome from three, 18 for 34. In the first half, they had 12 threes, I believe. But there's so many great takeaways from this. Obviously, Boyd at the end of the game was ridiculous. The over-the-shoulder, left-handed shot. Like, at this point, like, if you've watched the Badgers throughout the years, it comes down to the point guard or the player who's scoring the majority of those like late game points. Mm-hmm. It was Tanjay last year, right? It's going to be Boyd, because I was thinking it might be Blackwell late in this game, but it still got to Nick Boyd's hands, and he's the one that's making the play and going to his left. And it doesn't matter if you put three guys on Nick Boyd's left hand, he's going to get to it somehow, some way. And I have seen him go right a little bit. And sometimes the quickest way to get up a layup when you're going right is to use your inside hand and go left. So we've seen him do that a little bit. But if he wants to go left, it is the funniest thing in the world. He will not stop. He'll drive left or drive right and then run around the baseline and get back set up to get to his left hand. It's hilarious. I love it because it's literally unstoppable. Blackwell, again, the word I used in our last March mode, efficiency. 13 shots, 25 points, 7 for 13, 5 for 10, 6 for 7 from the line. The Badgers are 21 for 24 from the free throw line. And last year, that was a huge strength. They're not at, like, they were setting like a record pace last year at the free throw line. And this year, they've been good, but on the road to go 21 of 24, they like just didn't make mistakes. They barely turned it over. They were efficient shooting the basketball. Blackwell had big ones. Carrington had a cool one from Nick Boyd in the first half. The unsung hero of the game,
AB.
You look at his stat line, you're not like that impressed. His presence out there, he's a big Eastern European. You know where
he's from? Yes, your favorite place, Lithuania.
He played in the second division. I played in first school. Biliauskas, the Lithuanian, is a stud. 36 minutes, and he did finish and was awesome, obviously, from three-point land as well. Very reminiscent of the Michigan game where in the first half he had a bajillion threes. My heart stops sometimes when he takes them a little bit because he doesn't take a lot of them throughout the season, but he's hit them in big moments, so you gotta give it to the kid. But I think the presence down low, right? Like, he doesn't block – like, he had no blocks – but he affected a million shots. He does a great job of using his body, being square, getting straight up. And that was my biggest fear when this Badger team, and granted, Trey Kaufman-Wren is not very like big and whatnot, and their 7'3 sophomore that had an injury last year isn't Zach Edey or any of those guys. But he has a presence down low that the Badgers really have done a good job utilizing. When Rapp was struggling defensively, they brought in Biliauskas, and Rapp has found his role off the bench, and he had an awesome game as well, stepping up again, just knocking down shots and free throws. It was fun. Like, there's nothing more to say. Like, it wasn't surprising to me. I saw the Badgers on ESPN. I wish I could go to Pottawatomie. I understand the rules there. But they were plus +9. And I was like, you're telling me the Badgers are getting 9 points. I know they don't have Nolan Winter. But I texted my buddies. I go, if I could do this, you tell me I get Boyd, Blackwell, and Carrington the way that he's been playing. Like, one of those three is going to pop. And you really just need two of them. and they'll be in that game. Obviously, we saw what they did against Michigan and Illinois, and this was no different.
Somebody we talked about in episode 2 at length, or you talked about him at length, was Austin Rapp, and you just mentioned him. But appreciate Luke, who sent in this question to you over the weekend on Twitter and on YouTube. From Luke, he says, has any Badger basketball player improved more in a season than Austin Rapp has improved this season from the beginning until the end? I cannot think of one.
I would say improved is a strong word.
Yeah.
I would say he's had this talent the entire time, right? And I think in last episode, I may have mentioned I watched him against Oklahoma at Fiserv before the season in the exhibition game. I was like, man, he's got confidence. He's letting it rip. And he struggled early on in the year. But to play 32 minutes and score 17 points again on 8 shots and making his free throws, I would say first half wrap, if he got the start and Nolan Winter was out, we would have saw 17 shots. And so what did I say last week that came true again? Let's see how good of a listener Alex Strofe is.
Boy, it's Monday morning. Let's see how good. What did you say that came true? I don't know.
Defined roles.
Oh, yes.
Defined roles is one of the most important things that you can have in March. You know, if I tell you what Nick Boyd's going to do each game, what you're going to get from him. You're going to get 18 to 20 points. He's been more efficient. 5-2 assist to turnover ratio. I'd love, actually, for the Alex Strofe portion of March Mode would be a little bit more statistics from you.
I can do that.
Yeah. I'd love to know Boyd in, like, the last 8 games from assist to turnover ratio. Blackwell not forcing it, continuing to make just timely shots. Rhodey, defense. And, again, his 2 threes felt like they were 5 threes. The timing of them and the way in which I know one was off an offensive rebound for the Badgers, and it's just bam, 3 shots in 30 minutes. Doesn't care about scoring unless it's there for him because he knows he has talented people on offense to set up. Again, he had 4 assists. I think it was 5 or 6 last time we did this before the Maryland game as well. Just roles, man. Carrington comes off the bench. He provides a spark. And this was out without Nolan Winter. And so, honestly, to see Hayden Jones and Garlock was only 4 minutes, but, like, you get to really see what you're made of, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's just 7 the rest of the way. Even though I like Hayden Jones next year, I don't like him in a, like...
And probably feel that way about Garlock, too.
Totally.
Right,
but, like, they weren't net negative.
No, of course. I don't know that anybody really was, given how efficiently that team shot from all over the place. 56 field goal percentage, 53 three-point percentage. You mentioned the 88% free throw percentage. Nick Boyd, assist to turnover ratio the last 5 games. 5 assists to every turnover.
I felt like that was something that really bothered me, and the numbers were going to make sense.
30-6.
30-6,
yeah.
I don't need you to do this. We just know that it wasn't that the first 20...
Oh, it wasn't.
5, no, 24 no, no, no. games of the season.
No, it definitely wasn't.
It was probably closer to 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, but when you look at early season, there were games with 5 turnovers. There were games with 3 turnovers, multiple games with 3 turnovers, and 4 turnovers against Marquette in December, right? And then you've come down to this later season, each of the last 5 games, 1-2, 1-1-2, and then 10-7, 5-3-5 for assists.
Yep.
So that tells you
that is
the maturation of the growth.
That is the conversation that I had that I mentioned, I think, in our first episode with Andy North. Talking about what he was like in practice in the summer, in the fall. It was go, 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 go in that speed limit conversation that we had, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's figured out his balance of when to go, when to be aggressive, when to get to 2 feet, score, or find others. Because I remember, I know the feeling when you're a scorer or a shooter and somebody gets in there and there's 2 guys on you and your name is John Blackwell and you're like, dude, I would knock down that 3.
I'm John Bleepin' Blackwell.
Like, not even that. It's just like make the right play for the team.
Sure.
And he's making the right plays for the team. And I think that's my favorite part about watching Nick Boyd the last 6 or so games. And I does that game against Illinois go back to the 6 games here?
No, a little bit before.
Because him and Blackwell, I know in the second half, were having trouble finishing at the rim, and then they adjusted with their finishing, and then they found Rapp, because that was the big Austin Rapp game where he hit some big threes against Illinois on the road.
In that game for Boyd, 5 assists, 2 turnovers. Or excuse me, 5 assists, 0 turnovers in that game against Illinois back a couple weeks ago. So I do want to ask you about the definition of roles, because the Nolan Winter piece, I think, is important to me. You mentioned Austin Rapp. Obviously, he jumps into the starting lineup. He plays 32 minutes, which is about 10 more minutes than he averaged per game. If we expect Winter back, which it seems he's listed as day-to-day, which I would assume we don't see him until the tournament, would be my guess. The NCAA.
I wouldn't rule out the Big Ten tournament. If he's able to play, there is an element of getting out there and getting confidence with that ankle from a body standpoint before you throw him in.
That's a restriction of some sort, though, I assume, if you're getting him reacclimated in the tournament.
As you saw against Purdue, you had Biliauskas and Rapp. Luckily, you're not like, oh, no, we have no one to put in there.
No.
Rapp started this year as a starter.
Right.
And so you're putting what was a starter back in the starting lineup. Who's playing well right now?
And you got to feel good about what you saw out of Biliauskas on Saturday.
He was awesome. I'm not even saying from a scoring standpoint. He was efficient. He had threes, but that defense in the post, that Mackey whistle was something, though. Let me tell you, that Mackey whistle was something.
Isn't it always?
I'm not a blame the refs guy, but I loved how they just continued to play their game and scored 97. And Purdue against this Badger team doesn't want to be in the 90s.
Right.
But their defense in the second half of the season has been putrid. That's why they lost 7 Big Ten games.
Yeah.
7. This was the number one ranked preseason team. Number one. And they lost 7 Big Ten games. They can't guard anybody.
Yeah, that's true. But the Big Ten finds a way to beat itself up. And they certainly did that this year. And the Badgers were plenty part of that. They beat most of the top teams in the Big Ten as we get ready for the Big Ten tournament. Something I talked with Greg Gard about before we move on to the Big Ten tournament during Coaches Week before the season, Benny, was just the natural progression / maturation / physical part of the Big Ten, right? You grow up by playing. You don't grow up by necessarily being in the weight room or adding muscle. It helps, but you have to play a Big Ten schedule. And I think Biliauskas is a great example of this. Aussie Rapp is a great example of this, of guys just playing a full Big Ten season, and it seems like they've really found their way as we get ready for.
You could go one of two ways,
real
though.
Part of March.
There's players in the Big Ten that get time in the non-conference season, and then you see their minutes dwindle.
Sure.
And we saw that from Rapp a little bit, and there was some injury and whatnot, and Nolan and Biliauskas and his confidence didn't waver, and he got his opportunity, took advantage of it, and now we're on the good side of that. But there are some people that I think he might have been 2 for 25 at one point, or was from three during a stretch there, whatever it was, it wasn't good. And you could very easily just be down and hey, like, I'm forcing it, and I want to help the team, but I don't know how. He plays within the system and within his role right now and doesn't force it. And that's hard to do when you know you're talented. You want to come in there, and you want to make an impact right away because you don't want to come out. But it clicked. And when it clicked, that's a big thing for this team moving forward, especially when they get Nolan Winter back.
No doubt about that. All right, the Badgers will be the 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament, which means they will play about 1:30 or so on Thursday. They await the winner same time on Wednesday between USC, a team they lost to earlier in the year, and Washington, a team who they just went to a couple weeks ago and got a big win. Do you have a preference who they play Thursday? Because, and I want to talk about, obviously, the back-to-back-to-back days if you continue to win and the tournament mindset there. But does it really make a difference to you who they see coming up on Thursday around 1:30 Central?
Not at all, and it shouldn't. For them, it should be. If we do what we do best down in Chicago in the Big Ten tournament, they should beat either of those teams. Obviously, without Chaz Baker, Mazzara, yeah, he's off the team. He was 18 points a game for USC. Like, whoever it is, Washington or USC, that is a game that you don't drop, because you could potentially play yourself into a 5 seed. Again, I think they're locked into a 6 no matter what happens, based off the resume of those quad one wins that they have. Michigan State at home, and then those 3 road games are really going to make sure that even if there is a loss, I don't see them going backwards. But they got off that 8-9 line, which I wanted them to. That's been the number one talking point. Get off that 8-9 line. You don't want to face a 1 seed in the second round, and they've done just that.
Absolutely. And another big solidification for that case, right? On Saturday with a win.
I kind of want Illinois so bad. And like, I don't want them to overlook, like I'm doing right now, USC and Washington. But yeah, that Friday matchup against Illinois with the healthier team. And that was the excuses Illinois fans were making, despite the fact that they had a double digit lead with like 2 minutes to go and blew it. I don't care who's injured or who's not. You just don't do that at home.
Yeah.
And the Badgers came back and won that game. But I kind of want to get him again because Illinois has been a thorn in the Badgers' side as of the last 5 years. They've really struggled to beat them, and Brad Underwood does have a really good team, a potential Final Four team.
Totally.
So a neutral site game. I think all I want is that Friday win. I don't care if they win the semis or the championship. If you can win Thursday and Friday, that's like the Big Ten. That is that that'd be a tough way to go. Four straight games, win the Big Ten tournament. But when we've seen Greg Gard's teams go to the Big Ten championship game a lot, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to play well in tournament.
And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it seems like annually there is a debate online amongst Badgers fans, and I guess I don't know what the right or wrong side of the debate is, so I want to get your opinion on it. But you're playing every day. If you're a five seed, like you mentioned, you'd have to play 4 days in a row, Thursday,
yep,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then you only get 3 days off, or four if you're playing Friday in the round of 64.
I got two examples for you. Junior year, 2013, in the quarterfinals, we were the four seed, and we played Michigan, who was the five seed. A very same Michigan team we beat at home, half-court shot, all that stuff, yep, overtime win. We beat them, and they went to the national championship game that very same year as a five seed after losing in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. We also then beat Indiana, who was a number one seed in the tournament, not the overall number one seed, but was a number one seed. And then we lose to Ohio State in the championship, and I remember walking away like, oh, we're going to make a run. You know, we're playing our best basketball right now, and we lost to Ole Miss. In 2014, we won our first game against Minnesota, lost by 15 to Michigan State, and then won four straight games to go to the Final Four. So I don't read too much into you obviously want to be playing your best basketball towards the end. I think this team is. So one win or one loss isn't going to deter my confidence level for this team in the NCAA tournament, because again, having to match up against Illinois is no easy feat,
right,
on a Friday.
But you also want to you want to prove earlier in the year was not a fluke when they went to Illinois and won.
Yeah, I don't think anyone thinks it's a fluke, though, because you did go to Michigan, you did go to Purdue, and you won three of the best road games in the country.
Right.
So it's no fluke. It's more so if you can get that one and be like, all right, we got the confidence. If you don't win the semis or the championship, it doesn't change the outlook to me for this team of what they can do based off the NCAA tournament.
I would think really the only way they get to that five seed is probably winning the tournament or getting to the championship game.
Yeah, and as we know, there are contingency brackets based off of what teams do, and that Big Ten championship game is at 2:30. It's the last game on Sunday before the NCAA tournament selection show. Not much changes.
And I mean, when you look at some of the teams at the top of the Big Ten, like Michigan especially, I think of, like, they're locked in.
They're a one seed.
Michigan State is probably locked in. Illinois could maybe float a little bit. Wisconsin could maybe float a little bit. Nebraska, I have a hard time making sense of. But
they'll be a three seed.
Yeah, okay.
They'll be a three seed likely no matter what. I mean, they have the record.
Definitely. I just don't know how good they are, I guess.
I if you were to ask teams who they'd rather play, no matter what the seed, in the second round of the tournament, if each team won respective games, would you want to play Nebraska or would you want to play the Badgers right now?
I think I want to play Nebraska, but I know less about them than Wisconsin. But what we know about Wisconsin is they can beat anybody.
Exactly. And you don't want a team with – so, like, Nebraska has Hoiberg's kid, who's a really tough kid. He had four steals in the first half yesterday. Price Sanford is a shooter. Mast is an awesome player for Nebraska. I don't know if they have enough horses offensively where the Badgers, you look around, between Rapp, Blackwell, Boyd, Carrington, and if Winter comes back, you just have so many options to get you points in whatever style of game that it is. Like if Nolan, if it's a smaller team and Nolan has a matchup down low, he could take advantage of that. And if it's a bigger team that you're going against, you lean on Bilyauskas to play good defense, and Nolan's been pretty good before he was hurt, just being consistent. He hasn't shot the ball well this year, but he's still a threat. And I think even watching Bilyauskas go 4 of 5 in that game, people are going to notice that and be like, you know, we might have to get up on him a little more. Like, even just the thought of him having the capability of shooting, all the best Badger teams that we've all witnessed throughout the last 15 to 20 years, when all five guys on the floor are a threat to shoot, it opens up so much. And for these guards, especially with their ability to also get to the rim and get to the free throw line, like Boyd and Blackwell did, both getting to the line 7 times yesterday. Some of those obviously were later, you know, in that game. But I just think they have the ability to match up with different teams. So I'm excited to see what that draw is, no matter what. I don't want to be looking past the Big Ten tournament because it is a fun spectacle.
Because I think I just sense straight up confidence from you, which is a great thing this time of year, obviously. But yeah, I think that's what the team has proved to us.
How could you not? I know they've put up a couple stinkers. There's been some stinkers, but I think when the heightened pressure of games really has brought out the best in this team. And so when it's one and done, I feel pretty confident based off the way that they played on some of these games where probably they've been 7-point dogs against Michigan, 10-point dogs against Illinois, 9-point dogs against Purdue. They've won those outright. So when you have that ability to step up in tough environments, neutral site games, it's not going to be as tough of an environment. It's going to be pretty equal depending on where you play and who you play. Obviously, last year was a little interesting going out and playing close to BYU's backyard. But I think the Badgers have a really good shot no matter where they are.
Is this your favorite week of the college basketball season, the conference tournament week, like it is mine? Like, don't get me wrong. I love the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've got hoops all day. But I love this week.
I love this week, too. I think it's a fun week, but I go back and forth. I think from a Big Ten tournament standpoint, I like it. I think it's really fun, but I almost, like, I'm so sick of already watching all these teams play each other.
Outside of the Big Ten.
I know, but we're here for the Badgers. We're here for the Badgers. You can be excited about all these conference tournaments. I am as well. I'm going to watch them all. But again, my mind has been set on how this Badger team can get to the second weekend. And they've done what they've needed to do outside of that Oregon game out west to really bolster their resume late in this year and bolster the confidence. And despite Nolan being out, they didn't flinch. And stealing a Barry Alvarez line there, I love to see that from this Badger basketball team.
Don't flinch, and they certainly haven't. And the way they've responded and reacted and been able to compete in just about every game has been really impressive. And that gives me the most confidence I've had in a while. I thought last year's team was so good, and they certainly had a shot to get to that second weekend. We knew that BYU matchup in Denver would be tough, and obviously it was. It was a really good game, and
it was all Tanjay, right? Like it was a lot of last year kind of relied on Tanjay,
and this year you feel much more confident because there's such a great balance.
You have other guys that can step up, so to speak, and be like, all right. This could be a wrap 3 game. This could be Blackwell's 30 point game that I still feel is coming. Boyd has been on a tear right now and playing really well and at a great pace, getting up the floor. It's so weird to watch the Badgers play this way, but I've grown like took me a while last year against Arizona when I was at that Arizona game. At home, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, everyone's getting all these layups. And I'm like, all right, well, they just keep scoring. And they're outscoring teams because they're really good offensively. And credit to the coaching staff to sticking to how they've evolved and playing more possessions because they have the guys to be able to play in games with more possessions.
What are we going to see? Like 9 Big Ten teams in the tournament, probably?
Yes. It's going to be hard for Indiana to get in after losing to Ohio State. I think they might have a matchup, if I'm not correct, or if I'm not mistaken here, in the Big Ten tournament. If Indiana wins their first game, they may play Ohio State. And those are the last two teams sort of towards the,
on the bubble,
end of the bubble.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we will see. Oh, man, everything gets going tomorrow. That's Tuesday beginning at 4 o'clock on Peacock, Maryland and Oregon. What a barn burner that'll be to kick things off.
Maryland almost helped the Badgers get that double bye.
That's true. They almost did. Yesterday provided some really good hoops unexpectedly, right? Like Iowa comes back on Nebraska.
Nebraska.
They need overtime. They win by 9, but they were up, I think it was 10 with 4 minutes left.
They were up that entire game, and Iowa's a good team. Like credit to Iowa, because with the way that they play, like they have Sturts is really good, and unfortunately, like he's like the only guy that the offense like runs through. Where again, when I look at the Badgers, the difference between like an Iowa and the Badgers is you have multiple guys that you can rely on. If one's not having a good game, you have multiple guys that can pick you up. And I don't know if like a Nebraska can handle that if Sanford's not hitting threes in the tournament. Like Mast is great, but like who are you going to go to at that guard position to get points from?
Between now and the next time we talk, 9 more conference champions will be named.
That's fun.
I love this time of the year.
Fun.
SoCon and Sun Belt tonight.
The Fun Belt Championship?
Yeah, that's tonight.
Is that Troy and Spud Webb?
Yes. Yes, correct. Spud Webb.
Spud Webb's on the...
Is he on the staff there?
No, he's not on Troy. He's on like the 8th seed of the Sun Belt team.
Oh, okay.
Is it his son, by the way?
I got to be honest, I have not watched the Fun Belt at all.
Hey, well, you just said this is the best time of the year.
Well, I'm going to familiarize myself. So it's Georgia Southern is who you're referring to. And is the that is his son. Huh. I'm learning.
Yeah?
Well, I'll watch him tonight. I think it's 6 o'clock Central on ESPN2. Is
Georgia Southern, Spud Webb against Troy in the Fun Belt.
15.5 points per game. By the way, speaking of former Badgers, have you seen what like Daniel Freetag, not former Badgers, but Daniel Freetag had a really good season at Buffalo?
Not former Badgers.
I transitioned from Spud Webb, who's not a former Badger.
Got it.
Daniel Freetag had a nice season at Buffalo, and then Cameron Hunter yesterday.
Yeah, against Queens.
Unbelievable. Queens ends up blowing it, taking it to overtime against Central Arkansas. Central Arkansas can't close
that's
it.
That's a win for Greg Gard.
9 points for Cameron Hunter.
Yeah, it's just a win for Greg Gard. Like that, he brought in talent that he just didn't think like those guys would be playing over Boyd and Blackwell. And I think they realized that and went and took their services elsewhere.
It shows you how good the talent is in the Big Ten, right? Because you can go to a mid-major and score 49 points on a championship Sunday game like Cameron Hunter did yesterday.
From a Badger standpoint, I just love it from like, again, it's still an example of Greg Gard getting talent.
Yeah.
Right. Now we can't go back any further. We've already done this on this show of thinking about how this team could be like on the Nebraska 3-seed line if they didn't lose to Villanova. And like just pick up some more wins. The USC, the Oregon, the Villanova game, and of course the TCU game. Like you win 2 of those, you're looking at it being 24-7 with those wins, and that would be better than Purdue's overall record with a better Big Ten record than Purdue, and you're looking at a 3-line or a 4-line, in my opinion, if they just win 2 of those games.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So we will see. Such a fun format in the Big Ten tournament. Michigan, Illinois, Nebraska, Michigan State all await their opponents on Friday.
First time ever that all teams are in it since this major expansion.
Yeah, which... I feel okay about that, but just the format is so funny to me because it's 4-4, right? So Michigan, Illinois, Nebraska, Michigan State, they all wait until Friday. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Purdue, UCLA wait until Thursday. Iowa and Indiana don't play till Wednesday, but they await their opponents, and then you get a bunch of games really starting on Wednesday. But 2 games tip off the Big Ten tournament tomorrow. I mentioned it, Maryland and Oregon, the 17 and 16 seed respectively, and then the 18 seed Penn State will take on Northwestern 25 minutes after that game tomorrow night as we get action rolling in the Big Ten tournament, just 6 days away from Selection Sunday. We will have a bracket later this week. Benny Brust, good stuff as always. Thanks,
When's buddy. Our next episode?
We will talk Wednesday night, so ahead of the Badgers opener in the Big Ten tournament. Maybe we'll throw a special in there after, you know, quick reaction later in the week if we deem that necessary. But otherwise, we will talk Selection Sunday as well. As soon as we get a bracket, we will be live to talk about everything that's coming here in the next couple of weeks.
Defined roles late in March is why I'm probably the most confident I've been heading into a NCAA tournament, no matter what happens in the Big Ten.
No better way to end it than that. We'll be back with you later in the week. It's March Mode, ESPN Wisconsin.